Once again from the 23rd Psalm, and I will read the entire Psalm. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. We thank you, our Father, for this time to study your word. Might we feed upon it as the flock in green pastures and beside still waters. Might we be strengthened, might we be encouraged, might we meditate upon your holy truth. Give to us, we pray, the very practicality of the ministry of your word. We pray, Father, for those who listen, those who hear. We pray that believers might be strengthened and edified, encouraged in the truth. We pray that those who are strangers to the gospel might be quickened, awakened, and even brought to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to you, Father, and your blessing upon this study. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In our last study, we looked at verse 5, and we considered it in the metaphor of the host and the guest. Almost everyone changes the metaphor of Psalm 23 in verse 5 to the host and to the guest. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David considers himself, we are told, as the honored guest. A leisure banquet with all sorts of dainties and rich food in the presence of enemies, for there was no animosity that could be expressed under the guidance and protection of the host. Perfumed oil was poured upon the hair and the beard of the honored guest to perfume the banquet and also to refresh in that dry climate the hair of the head and, of course, of the beard. And then the host would give a cup to the guest, the honored guest, on a towel and pour the cup full of wine until it overflowed, signifying that one could never exhaust the hospitality of the host. We return to verse 5 in this present study, and we return again to the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep. Once again, now we continue on with the theme, a day in the life of a sheep. David, in his old age, looking back over his life as a day in the life of the sheep. In verse 1, the shepherd and the sheep. In verse 2, morning in the meadows. Verse 3, midday on the mountains. Verses 4 and 5, the evening and its evils. And verse 6, the sheepfold and its safety. Our study now will revolve about 5 different considerations as we open our text. I have an introductory thought and note, and that is an unusual circumstance, a sudden snowstorm. And we have reason to speak about this. In the higher mountains, especially in the mountains of Lebanon, but in the higher mountains during the winter, snowfalls, though rare, might occur. When the shepherds could not immediately get their flocks to the lower pastures, they would spend the entire day climbing trees and cutting off the ends of branches so the sheep might feed. William Thompson, a Christian missionary in Palestine in the 1800s, speaks of this. Shepherds climbing trees, spending all day in the trees, breaking off, cutting off the tips of branches so that the sheep might eat. The shepherd, as we see in the New Testament by application, must prepare himself before he can feed the flock of God. Let me read. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The shepherd must prepare himself before he can feed the flock. And that is true with pastors, preachers, and Bible teachers. Rather strange, perhaps, one of the qualifications of a shepherd was he had to be able to climb trees. We often do not think of such things. We think of a rather pastoral, calm atmosphere. But the work of the shepherd was very rigorous, and he might even have to climb into trees, hazarding his life to provide for the flock. An unusual circumstance, but one that might occur. By application, we are living right now in an unusual time, the COVID pandemic that has encircled the earth. Our churches have been closed, many of them, for a year at this point in time. Sickness has ravaged some congregations, and we must do what we can to prepare ourselves and to prepare our people for this pandemic. We preach on video. We write sermons and send them out on the internet. This is unusual, but it has actually increased the hearing that we get. And these videos go across our nation and even into other countries. Yes, at this point in time, we are, as it were, climbing trees, breaking off branches that the flock might eat. An unusual time, but the main issue and primary work is to feed the flock of God. We must use every legitimate means, as the shepherds did, to feed the flock of God. Written messages, books, tracts, quotations, videos, and recorded messages are all avenues to be pursued in this unusual time. Having spoken now of the unusual, we began to deal with our text and our second consideration. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Back now into the dark valley or ravine by the sheepfold, now dusk, darkness. The shepherd gives his sheep one final time in the pasture for a meal and a drink, and then into the sheepfold. Evening times are very dangerous. most predators hunted during the evening, during the night, and into the early hours of the morning. In the presence of many enemies, the shepherd would guard the flock and they would have their final time for feeding. God, by application, sets a full table for us in His Word. We have a banquet in the Scriptures. We are to feed upon His truth, which is suitable to any and every circumstance of our life. The Word of God provides for us a complete diet for our good and our spiritual health. It is good to feed upon God's truth both morning and evening. We have a full fare in God's Word for our spiritual nourishment, our strength, and our growth. Before we bed down at night, as the sheep did in the sheepfold, it is good to open the Word of God and to feed our souls. Listen to the first psalm, the first opening verses, if you can recall this from one of our early studies. Oh, the complete and utter blessedness of the man. This is called in the Hebrew the plural of intensity. The subject is singular, the man, but the word blessed is in the plural. Oh, the complete blessedness of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look carefully at verse 2. It is introduced by a ki'im phrase in the Hebrew, but if. Look at verse 2. But if he has any delight at all, it is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the word meditate means to mutter, to repeat, to talk to oneself, to muse, going over the Word of God again and again and again until its truth enters into our heart, our soul, and our thinking. Just as the sheep ruminates the food that it has eaten for its own digestion. I want to note something here that is extremely important. Another possible meaning for the term table. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. The word table in Hebrew, shulchan, denotes something spread. And we use this, do we not? They spread a feast or they spread the table. This word could refer to a table land. That is an area of level ground where the sheep could safely eat before they were put into the sheepfold. And I want to deal with this. A level parcel of ground having been prepared by the shepherd and cleared of all noxious weeds, predators, pests, and poisonous snakes. And there is tremendous application to be made here. Let us draw a picture now. They enter into the bottom of this steep canyon, down that narrow, steep trail. They're in the bottom land. The shepherd goes ahead. He looks over a level piece of ground so the sheep can have their final pasture before they bed down for the night. He inspects it for noxious weeds. He inspects it for holes or layers where poisonous vipers will stay during the day but will slither out at night to hunt. The air in the canyon has cooled down. The biting insects and the flies are gone. The sheep now may feed in quiet as the shepherd protects him. Now, he goes forth and he spots a hole, a lair for a poisonous viper or snake. As it gets dark, it will slither out and could bite a sheep on the nose and harm it or kill it. And so he takes oil and he pours it around the hole and then down into the hole, so it will slip and not be able to slither out to harm the sheep. Everything is prepared that the sheep might feed in quietness and safety. The Lord prepares for us a feast in His Word. By His Spirit and His grace, He enables us to feed upon His truth. Preaching, and here we see the shepherd preparing the pasture, the tableland for the sheep. Preaching must include a given amount of teaching when necessary. Not simply taking a text, preaching a message upon it. A true and faithful ministry will deal with false teachings, will deal with the wrong interpretation of Scripture when these present an obstacle or danger to the congregation. In other words, he prepares the tableland. He takes care that the Scriptures might be understood properly and not in a mistaken way. Preaching should include a given amount of teaching. We come now to our third consideration, in the presence of mine enemies. The shepherd keeps watch, as the evening time is the most dangerous. Predators are bedded down usually during the day. At dusk, they creep forth for their evening and hunt. Poisonous vipers slither out of their lairs. It is a dangerous time, and the shepherd must keep close watch. We ourselves, as believers, have both external and internal enemies. There are false teachers. There are defective doctrines. There are traditional misunderstandings of Scripture. The devil himself will keep us from the Word of God or interfere with our feeding upon it. Powerful evil forces may be at work to keep us from feeding upon God's truth before we pillow our heads at night. Listen to the Apostle Paul under inspiration in Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but in the original especially, very appropriate to our study. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong, power, might, all of these come from God and are His strength in preparing us for the study of the Word of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And the word whole armor is the source of our English word panoply. Put on the panoply of God, the complete suit of armor, every piece fitting together, completely protected, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Methodeos, satanic methodology, devilish methodology. The roaring lion, the subtle serpent, seeking to seduce us from feeding upon the Word of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word wrestle denotes hand-to-hand combat under the figure of the Christian warrior. Hand-to-hand combat, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Note carefully the wording of the original. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Literally, against the world rulers of this darkness. Powerful, spiritual, evil forces, predators that we cannot feed in safety in the Word of God, robbing us of spiritual nourishment, that we are dull when we come to the Scriptures and unable to be spiritually nourished before we pillow our heads at night. There are some traditional teachings that are defective to a given degree, and they can adversely affect our spiritual life and our experience. Some widely accepted teachings are faulty. We have referred before, and we do so again, to the old man, new man teaching, that we have within us an old man and a new man, an old nature and a new nature. And it depends on which one we encourage or feed. And so there is this inner conflict. The old man, the old unregenerate self, Paul tells us under inspiration, was, not is, was crucified with Christ. Union with Christ is union in his death and union in his resurrection life. And union in his death defeated the old man. Our problem is with indwelling sin and remaining corruption. We are not, as it were, a spiritual schizophrenic. What great encouragement that our union with Christ is a union in his death, the crucifixion of the old man, and union in his resurrection life, the dynamic of grace through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Many traditional teachings commonly accepted may greatly and adversely affect our Christian experience. We must watch, because of indwelling sin and remaining corruption, our attitude when we come to the Word of God. Pride, mere religious intellectualism, rather than spiritual perception, will rob us of the spiritual nutrition that we need. A neglect of prayer, coming to the Word of God in a prayerless state of mind and attitude. Self-will, a wrong attitude, all of this will rob us of our spiritual nourishment. This brings us now to consider our fourth observation. Thou anointest my head with oil. The shepherd gives each sheep a final, close, personal examination at the end of the day before the sheep enters the sheepfold. He carefully looks for any injuries and he medicates them with a mixture of oil, sulfur, and spices. There is a tear in the hair of a sheep having gone through some thorn bushes. He applies the oil mixture medicinally. There is a scratch. He applies the oil medicinally. Then he takes and dips his hand in oil and swabs the nostrils of the sheep so that any screw flies will not lay eggs. And if there are any eggs in the nostrils of the sheep, they are killed by the ointment. In my younger days, while I lived at home, I was from a hunting family. We hunted what seasons were open. We lived largely on wild meat, game meat. And I can recall seeing the great maggots of the screwfly eggs having hatched in the nostrils of deer. They come down into the lungs and they literally eat through the animal, so the animal is nothing but skin and bones. The meat had to be thrown away. It was polluted. The shepherd cared for every aspect of the sheep and literally anointed and rubbed with oil medicinally because the sheep are prone to disease, prone to injury, and the shepherd cares for them. Look at the words, "Thou anointest my head with oil." This is in the Hebrew a PL intensive. And the words "with oil" are in an emphatic position. With oil, emphatically, you copiously pour upon my head. The shepherd takes the tenderest care, looking at the sheep, examining any wounds, any infestations, ministering to the sheep. His whole life is bound up in the care of the flock. The oil is emblematic of the Holy Spirit. David himself was anointed with the Spirit of God as a young teenager, anointed with oil by the prophet Samuel, the youngest of eight, and God chose him, and the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forth. Then, perhaps a year or two later, as a young teenager, he went against Goliath in the strength of the Spirit and became a national hero. The Spirit of God protected him for years from the hand of Saul before he became king. And David ruled wisely, the sweet psalmist of Israel, through the ministry of God's Spirit. In the figure of the shepherd and the sheep, the constant daily ministry with oil, medicinally, for the health of the sheep was an absolute necessity. And what of us? Using the oil as emblematic of God's Spirit, this aptly pictures the comforting and enabling work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Paul tells us under inspiration how we receive the Spirit of God as God's children. In Galatians chapter 4 we read, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons," that is, through the process of adoption, "God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." It is through the process of adoption, that spiritual work of God making us His children, that we receive His Spirit. As believers, we are to know the comfort of the Spirit, which is ascribed to God the Father. He sends us the Spirit to comfort us, and not only to comfort us, but enabling us to comfort others. Picture the flock. It is now almost dark. There is a sheep rubbing its head along the ground and into the bushes, irritated, perhaps infected. Perhaps the screw flies have laid eggs in its nostril. It is alarmed. The oil is applied. The medication is given. The sheep is calm. And when one sheep is calmed, it has a tendency to calm the entire flock. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The flock is calmed as each sheep knows the medicinal work of the oil, as we as believers know the grace and ministry of God's Spirit. In Acts chapter 9 we read, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria." Saul of Tarsus had been converted. The great persecutor and inquisitor was now a child of God. There was no open persecution for a time. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. God at times sends to his churches and to his people the mollifying, quieting, medicinal work of his Holy Spirit for the sake of his people. As anointing with oil was considered a necessity, even so the ministry of the Spirit abounds to us as believers. Let me read the opening verses of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, literally, having been justified by faith, we have, as a constant state, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we have taken up our stand, literally, and continue to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Our hope will not be disappointed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The words shed abroad, one in the original language, means literally to pour out without reserve. The ministry of the Spirit of God vouchsafed to us a consciousness of God's love and care. In a sense, the perfect picture of the shepherd's care for the sheep and the copious pouring forth of oil. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Perfect tense. And the word itself is emphatic, meaning to pour out without reserve. This is God's care for his flock. And now our final consideration, my cup runneth over. The flock is now at the sheepfold. The shepherd, from a pool of water or a quiet stream, cups up his hands and gives each sheep individually a drink of water. At times, a leather bucket with two handles was used that each sheep might be satiated. The well-being and the comfort of the sheep were the utmost in the shepherd's mind and work, sometimes climbing trees to break or to cut off branches that the sheep might eat, hazarding his life that the sheep might be protected, working literally night and day for the care of those sheep under his protection and his ministry and care. Do we enjoy, as believers, feeding upon God's word? Do we feed in safety? Do we receive from the pulpit ministry the truth of God, the teaching of the Spirit? Do we rejoice in the faith of God's elect? Our well-being is determined by our relationship to the Word of God through the ministry of the Spirit. Do we profit from this? Are we well fed? Are we well cared for? Do pastors, the under shepherds, do what they can to prepare for us the nourishment of the Word of God? Then we are blessed, and the local church is blessed. And when we study the Word of God on our own, we receive spiritual nourishment through the intense and personal ministry of the Spirit of God. Open thou mine eyes, said David, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Before we bed down for the night, do we feed upon God's word? Our waking moments, our closing thoughts, determined by the word of God. And what shall we say to unbelievers? Are you satisfied with no religion at all? Are you satisfied being taken up with your own thoughts, your own problems, your own crisis? Or do you know more than a mere outward religion? There are multitudes who sit in church pews, who read religious material, and they are satisfied with a mere outward religion. They can take it or leave it, but it does not minister to their souls. They are not spiritually fed. They are spiritually dead, unable to partake of the richness of God's bounty. Is that your state? Consider the flock of God. Consider the good shepherd. Consider the work of God. Consider the richness of his word. Consider that you face crises and troubles and problems that you were never meant to deal with on your own, but you are meant to deal with by God's word. Not by bread alone shall live the man. I give you the literal translation of our Lord's words in the Wilderness translation. And temptation. Not by bread alone shall live the man, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look to Jesus Christ. Turn and repent from your sin. Lay hold by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know what it is to be in the flock of God. Know what it is to feed upon the word. Know what it is to live with hope in this sin-cursed world. Lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Be saved from yourself and from the reigning power of sin, and enter into that state of grace which is described in this 23rd Psalm. Father, bless, we pray, your word. Glorify yourself in the truth. Give us joy for our sorrow. Give us blessing, Lord, from our sins. O Lord, deliver us, we pray. Might we feed, protected, safe at the hand of our heavenly shepherd. Glorify yourself in the truth of the gospel, saving men and women from their sin, from its reigning power, and delivering them unto your heavenly kingdom. We commit all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.